The Air Force faces a greater risk now that it won't get its financial house in order by the first congressionally mandated 2014 auditability deadline. By the end of this fiscal year, all the Defense Department must be able to develop an auditable statement of budgetary resources. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller is here with details on why the Air Force continues to struggle with financial management. And I think we've been following this so long, Jason, that I think maybe some of us have forgotten. This is it. We're now in fiscal 14, and it's less than a year that the branches and DOD has to get to this auditability deadline. Why is the Air Force's risk higher now than it's been before?
And you're right. I mean, there are two big deadlines. There is the one that's 14, but the bigger deadline is 2017 when they can offer up an audit, when GAO can do an audit opinion. So that's really the end goal. This 14 is kind of the initial goal. But there are a host of reasons why the Air Force is struggling. One, because let's face it, it's hard. They haven't done it before. But that's just not a good enough excuse anymore. And I think the second reason is maybe a better reason. The Air Force's IT systems just aren't up to task. And now the third related reason to that is a contract protest. Jamie Morin is a Air Force controller and President Barack Obama's nominee to be DOD's second director of the Cost Assessment and Program Evaluation, or CAPE, office. Senate Armed Services Committee members wanted assurances from Morin that the Air Force was on track to meet the 2014 and 2017's financial auditability deadlines.
Senator, the Air Force is continuing to press forward aggressively on the 2014 and 2017 audit readiness timelines. Candidly, we lost progress last year due to a six-month contract protest that took our independent public accountant advisors out of work. So that was unfortunately timed, and we've resolved it now. We have a contract awarded and IPAs, public accountants on site, helping us with certain tasks. We've made some continued progress in identifying the actions we need to take in the near term with our existing legacy IT systems, our legacy financial systems, in order to give ourselves the best chance at meeting that 2014 deadline.
Now, the contract Morin was referring to was the $76 million deal award made to PricewaterhouseCoopers in August 2012. Now, the company called Kearney protested that award to the Government Accountability Office. GAO eventually decided in favor of the Air Force, and PwC has now continued the contract. But Morin says that these changes to the financial management system will help achieve the 2014 deadline are not a long-term approach.
We will not have our objective future financial systems fully fielded by the 2014 deadline. So there is some risk in the 2014 deadline. Pressing aggressively on the 2014 deadline for the budgetary resources, though, has helped us significantly reduce the risk on that 2017 deadline for full financial and audit readiness.
Morin says that there remains an important priority for DOD, but there has been real progress over the last few years. Now, additionally, lawmakers also pressed Joanne Rooney about the Navy's ability to meet the 2014 and 2017 deadlines. Rooney is the president's nominee to be the undersecretary of the Navy, the number two official in the service. She says she didn't have any details about the Navy's status at this moment, in part because of the fiscal uncertainty that hasn't let the service hire skilled workers or plan accordingly. Now, that didn't sit well with Senator John McCain. He tells Rooney to go back and figure out where the Navy stands on meeting these legal deadlines. He says if she does not know the answer, then she is not qualified to hold the job as undersecretary. Now, all of this is a sign that Congress will turn up the heat just a little bit on DOD over the next 11 months.
This nomination hearing today was also an opportunity for members to kind of let their emotions fly a little bit with all the shutdown conversations and so on. Improving the acquisition process came up today. What do we learn about this?
Well, both Rooney and Morin say that DOD is getting better at buying goods and services, especially weapon systems. Now, in his new role as Director of the Cost Assessment and Program Evaluation, or CAP, office, Morin says that he will be responsible for developing cost estimates, but also overseeing programs to make sure they meet their cost goals. Now, CAPE plays a big role in acquisition decisions, so Congress is keen to know how DOD is buying better. Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, listened to this exchange with Morin about the impact of a law to improve how DOD buys weapon systems.
We, a few years ago, passed the Weapons System Acquisition Reform Act, and I'm wondering if you're familiar with it.
Yes, sir.
And do you know whether it's achieved some benefits yet?
Senator, I've seen enormous progress inside the Department of Defense over the last 4 years. I was struck when I arrived in the Department of Defense by the degree to which the unification of the cost assessment and the program evaluation shops into CAPE had made a difference. Senator McCain spoke at the outset about the degree to which we need the military services to be rigorous about cost estimates. And I've tracked that data, in fact, with regard to the Air Force, and have found that over the last 4 years, the range between independent cost estimates out of CAPE and the Air Force service cost positions coming out of the Air Force Cost Analysis Agency have narrowed significantly. It's a limited number of observations, so you can't do a lot of great statistics.
I think it would be helpful when you get there that you write that up for us, because we're interested in tracking what the impacts of our legislation have been.
Absolutely.
Now, beyond weapon systems, Morin says DOD leadership has put a lot of focus on reducing contract risk, including moving to incentive-based contracts and holding vendors more accountable. But he says between sequestration and now the shutdown, numerous programs now face additional delays and challenges. In fact, Rooney discusses the acquisition side as well, and what she says is part of this broader conversation about Navy readiness. She reiterated the impact sequestration and the shutdown has had on training and shipbuilding and repairs and overall readiness, and looking at it from an acquisition perspective as well.
You can't have a nomination hearing without talking about sequestration and the shutdown. What did we learn anything new about anything that's going on at DOD as a result here?
There's absolutely a lot of ground that we've definitely covered before, but I think the one question that added at least a little bit new perspective was from Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. He asked all three nominees, Morin, Rooney, and Michael Lumpkin, who would be the new Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Low-Intensity Conflict, about how current and future years' planning is being impacted by furloughs. Morin says the military is known worldwide for its strong planning, programming, budgeting, and execution process, but now that's at risk.
The Cost Assessment and Program Evaluation Organization is the keeper of what's called the FYDP, the Future Years Defense Plan, the database of the programmatic decisions that the department is making for that five-year time horizon. And I can tell you, you know, very directly that the rigor and intelligence that needs to be put into making those choices sensibly is enormously demanding. The process of simultaneously doing that sort of planning at multiple budget levels, while you don't know what your previous year's jumping off point is, so right now we're in the midst of a 2015 to 19 planning horizon with absolutely no idea what we're going to be doing in 2014, if and when we end the shutdown and get to start executing 2014. That is enormously difficult.
Now, he says the institutional planning process is getting enormous and is getting untold damage based on the shutdown and all the other sequestration effects. Now, from Rooney's perspective, the impact is around people. She says if the staff that does the planning can't have certainty in the stable horizon, meaning looking forward, then the process also will suffer. Now, Rooney previously was the Undersecretary of Personnel Readiness for the Navy before leaving the service in 2012. Now, she's coming back to be Undersecretary of the Navy, so she's familiar with the personnel impact. And she says that the impact of the shutdown and the furloughs is especially being felt in the research and development areas, the science, technology, engineering, and math.
The problem comes in that we are in a competitive environment, and frankly, the uncertainty of the last few years, the budgets, the lack of being able to have raises or have some of the tools that are available in private industry are only making this challenge even greater. It's very difficult to recruit, and as I mentioned, over half of the Department of the Navy civilians fit in many of the categories you described. And it's very difficult not only attracting newer and our younger and maybe our very creative different thinkers, but retaining when we're putting people on furloughs. And we've got, you know, challenges with hiring, and we've had little or no raises through the years. We cannot compete with private industry.
Now, Rooney says DOD and really the government more broadly has some basic foundational work to do to be a long-term attractive place for these employers, for these employees with their specific skill sets. Now, Rooney says if she is confirmed and she'll be look at what's been working, what hasn't, review the data on what types of skills that have left the Navy and what have been replaced, and tailor her approach to those specific capabilities. Now, all three nominees seem to have widespread report from both Democrats and Republicans on the panel. That, of course, as long as Ms. Rooney provides Senator McCain with the details on the Navy's effort to close their fiscal books.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. More on federalnewsradio.com.
Absolutely. More tomorrow morning with Tom and Emily on the Federal Drive.